today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta says the computer meltdown may cost it in the neighborhood of $500 million, that's with a B, dollars. And Disneyland averts a strike by park workers. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, we talk about a new way to pay your bill in restaurants. Well, is it good or bad news for diners?
The airline industry is refusing to follow government passed rules. They're using all sorts of stall tactics. What are the rules they're trying to avoid? The ones that require disclosure of all charges and hidden fees. We'll discuss at 11:35.
Well, the Travel Guys are expanding. We've asked a travel gal to join the team. You'll meet and learn a little bit about her and her poodle at 11:50. And that's right, I said poodle.
The show is going to the dogs. Here to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys.
Welcome, welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, and don't forget, links to our special guests and more to make you a smarter traveler, always, at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, remember when you used to have the spoiler alert? You know, we're going to tell you something about the Olympics, and we're going to tell you who won, and you're going to want to go watch it tonight, and we don't want to spoil that for you. That kind of has gone out the window, hasn't it?
I was listening
to the top of the news, and now you know, now I'm going to have to make a completely different plan as to what I want to do for my evening.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard with the internet and social media the way it is and stuff nowadays to keep things a secret for more than about 20 minutes.
That ain't that the truth. Yeah. Well, hey, look, I tried to get a hold of you yesterday, and you had disappeared. They said you had to go to Seattle for something.
I took off, and we're taking a group to see the Giants and the Mariners in Seattle in about 10 days. And actually, I guess it's longer than that, about 3 weeks. And we were getting all kinds of conflicting stories about where to park a motor coach, and we need to stop and drop people off and come back and pick them up. And the stadium, the baseball stadium's in downtown Seattle around some major streets. And no, we close all these. No, we don't. And so I just decided to get on an airplane and go up there yesterday and figure it out, because I've got 35 people involved and it's kind of important. So we needed an answer.
So when I heard this, okay, I have to reveal, I did know where Mark went, but I just a different kind of setup. I thought it was really interesting that a tour director would take a day and travel all the way to Seattle just to see where they're going to park the bus on game day, because he was not comfortable with the information you were getting back over the phone or online with your vendors. It, you know, I got to say that it speaks volumes to why Sports Leisure Vacation is pretty buttoned up. That's a little going beyond the call of duty.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I had a friend in Seattle who met me at the airport and chauffeured me around for a couple hours, took me not only to the ballpark but to a couple of other places in town that we're using for the first time, a caterer for some box lunches and stuff like that. So you know, Sports Leisure Vacations has been around for 45 years, and I'd like to think one of the reasons for that is we don't leave very many things to chance. And when you've got a bunch of people going someplace and there's something that isn't for sure, it's better to go and find out than get there and have it be something minorly catastrophic happen and make you just really look bad, and people be sitting there thinking, why, I paid this guy a lot of money. You would have thought that he would have known, you know, how this was going to work. So, hey, I wanted to throw in a couple of quick things here before we get to the news about my trip. First of all, we talk a lot about the lack of parking at Sacramento Airport. I want to bring it up again. I went to the airport, got there yesterday about 8:30 in the morning. The daily lot was completely full. One of the extended lots was full. There was some spaces in one of the other new extended lots, and they told us there were still 190 spaces in the garage. So I was just going for the day, and I figured, well, an extra $5-6 for a day of parking's not a big deal. So I went to the garage, and the first floor is full, and the second floor is full, and the third floor is full, and the fourth floor is full, and the fifth floor is full, and the sixth row on the top is finally has some spaces, but there weren't 190 of them. That hadn't been updated maybe for 20 minutes or so. There were probably two dozen spaces up there. I got one of them. But as I'm driving around and I can't find one, I'm thinking, wow, somebody comes this far gets into the garage, now finds out there's no parking. They got to leave the garage, go back out to an extended lot, and now get back in. And you can't walk in from those lots. You got to wait for the shuttle bus. So I really want to emphasize to folks, if you're going to the Sacramento airport, this is going to last for a while because they're getting ready to do the shoveling, turning over the dirt next week for the new projects. So it's going to be a little while, but especially in peak times, consider having somebody take you to the airport or getting a ride to the airport. Parking is expensive, and if you don't do that, make sure if you're arriving at the airport after about 5:30, 6 in the morning, when the close-in spaces from the day before have been taken, you got to allow yourself extra time. And also the traffic going to and from the airport, they're finally getting that extra lane just about finished out there, which will help some. But still, it's possible you could get delayed going out, and you can get delayed coming home. Of course, you're home, so a few extra minutes doesn't matter. Anyway, in Seattle, at the airport, there's a Salty's restaurant. I never knew this. Salty's has three locations in Seattle. It's one of the best seafood places that doesn't cost a complete fortune. And there's a Salty's at the airport. It's on the B concourse, which is where Delta and Southwest have gates. And they're two of the three carriers that feed Sacramento from Seattle. So Salty's, I had a crab cluster and some chowder there yesterday. That was, man, it's an airport, so the food is more expensive, but I was perfectly happy to pay it because it was delicious. And my server was terrific. Salty's in the Seattle airport. And wow. Also, the Seattle airport is as big of a mess as the Sacramento airport is, except theirs is inside the building. And they're doing a lot of construction and changing things. So if you're going to Seattle or you have somebody go, you know, is going to Seattle, it's confusing as hell. There are signs. So just be patient. Follow the signs. You may take a wrong turn or something. They'll get you there. But the airport is incredibly crowded, way overcrowded. They're trying to do some things to fix it. Again, these things don't happen overnight. So if you're doing anything involving the Seattle airport, when you depart from there, or if somebody's picking you up there, just know that it's really a zoo. And all of this boarding the airplane would go a lot faster if the airlines would enforce the size of the carry-on bags. It's the people who bring the steamer trunks on board. How do they get those past the gate agent? I don't get it. Anyway, thank you for letting me rant for a minute.
Okay. And if you listen to the show on a regular basis, we're always late for the travel news. Which we do at the top of every Travel Guy show. Thank you, Justine. You're the best.
Or and sort of the here, top.
Yeah, here's Mark with the travel news.
All right, I'll try to be fast here. JetBlue is leaving a whole bunch of airports around the country. Let's see, Burbank, Charlotte, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Palm Springs, San Antonio, Tallahassee. Also appears as though they're leaving Sacramento. Sacramento wasn't on the list, but the last flights... Boston, New York, last New York flight flies out of here on the 27th of October, and there is no, when you go forward to the springtime when the flight might normally reappear, it's not in there. So it appears as though JetBlue may be leaving Sacramento. They've been having some issues with profits, as some of the airlines have, so they're just saying, you know, if these cities are not profitable for us, we leave. For those who know, JetBlue used to have a red-eye to Boston. It was a very convenient way to get from Boston. Not as convenient going back. Same thing, New York. Comes in the evening, goes back as a red-eye. Someday we'll grow up enough that we'll have real daytime flights to some of those places, but not quite yet. Here's something kind of cool. Move over baby showers. Hatchelorette parties are here. Hatchelorette parties combine the fun-loving spirit of bachelorette parties with the traditions of baby showers as more parents-to-be embrace traveling to pregnancy-friendly destinations for a day trip or weekend. So a hatchelorette party, I thought that was really kind of cool. Disneyland has averted a strike with a new 3-year contract to their front and back of the house people. Looky there, everybody wants more money. You raise the prices to get into the park, where's our share? United has started using sustainable aviation fuel at O'Hare International Airport. This month, by the end of the year, United will use sustainable fuel on 3% of its fuel consumption at one airport. Doesn't sound like much, but it's a start. It's a step in the right direction. Delta Airlines says the software snafu is going to cost us about $500 million. Good is what I would say. You did a lot of bad things to a lot of people. It should cost you a lot of money as an as encouragement not to do it again. Pete Buttigieg has refused to delay an airline refund rule for the airlines. We're going to talk some more about what the airlines are up to in a segment after the news at the bottom of the hour. But there are a couple of things to be newly pissed off about them. Airline catering agreement averts a possible strike. Unions representing airline catering workers reached a tentative agreement with Gate Gourmet, averting a strike that could have begun as early as last week, to which many people said, catering on airplanes, if they were on strike, how would I know? Mm-hmm. I guess the people in the forward cabin will know. Would know.
I suppose, yes. They wouldn't know that.
I wouldn't know exactly on how that all works. DOT is floating a ban on seating fees for families with children. There already are rules about how you have to do some of those things, but what the Department of Transportation is saying is, how about if we just get rid of fees if you've got kids under 13? You get to sit together on the airplane, which kind of sort of sounds like common sense to me, which explains why the airlines are against it. And here's something kind of cute. Southwest Airlines, this is, you talk about clickbait online, there's a lot of clickbait on travel websites. I fell for one last week. Mm-hmm. Petitions asking Southwest to reverse new policy are gaining steam. So I thought, this could be an important story. So I click on it and I start reading, and I get to the third page in this rather lengthy article, and it reveals that, yes, the surveys have been signed by over 600 flyers. Now, just to give you an idea, if that survey had been signed by 600,000 flyers, then you might have a story. The fact that the survey was signed by 600 flyers, more people will take off on a Southwest plane in the next hour in Sacramento than more than 600. So to give you an idea, that has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on anything. It was clickbait. And I fell for it. Nobody is circulating a major petition to get Southwest to undo their policies. My guess is they spent a lot of money, waited a long time to figure out what to do, and now that's what they're going to do. And then they'll find out if it works or not. Those of you who liked the free-for-all seating, which did board airplanes quicker, are going to see that that's going to be gone sometime soon. Speaking of airlines that are changing their business model, Spirit Airlines, seeing the writing on the wall, has decided to bundle fares and change their business model a little bit. Spirit is one of those people that we're talking about, airlines that said the fare is this, but really when you all got done getting your seat and your bag and your, you know, everything, you were paying as much money as you would have paid to fly on any other carrier, and maybe serving a destination four times a week or something like that. So Spirit, seeing the writing on the wall, is making some changes. They're also instituting a new boarding process. I would expect that Frontier would probably follow, because low-fare carriers are finding that in some cases those rules that they had that required people to figure it out on their own are not proving to be all that popular. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. You were talking about catering. Speaking of which, if you want quality catering that you can count on, not on strike, I might add, you can go to Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. They have a catering department that'll serve pretty much anything from hamburgers and hot dogs to filet mignon and lobsters. The great taste of Rudy's can show up right at your doorstep, or better yet, at your nearby park, or, you know, while you're having something at the office. Rudy's on the Roll is their truck. It's really cool if you've ever seen it. And then park in your driveway or your local park. Food truck specializes in lobster rolls and filet mignon tacos, and they always specialize in the Travel Guys special there at the restaurant. That 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins can be yours for $29.95, and you tell them when you go in that the Travel Guys sent you, just so that we can get the credit, but you have to pay the bill. We're going to spend some time talking about a new way to pay your bill at restaurants. There's so many different ways. I'm curious to see which one we're going to talk about, Mark. You can use the little tablet. I know that. You know, yep. You can see people paying with their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not big on some of this, because the things that take away the personal contact is one of the reasons I went to a restaurant in the first place. But There are some things that seem to make logical sense. If you listen to this program, you know that Tom and I are not huge fans of tipping screens. And I was when I was talking about eating in Salty's yesterday in Seattle, the lady brought the tip, you know, the machine to me, and of course it had the tip screen on it, but she turned away. She was holding it, and mm-hmm. she visibly turned her head away from me.
That was nice.
Well, I thought,
so
you know,
not to make it awkward for you to pick.
Not that she wouldn't see that. As soon as I handed her the machine back and she walked away, I'm sure she could pull it up. But I thought that that was just a small acknowledgement. Plus, I'd had great service, so I tipped her the 20%. I tend not to go over 20% now because I just believe that 20% is a lot. Restaurant prices are not inexpensive. 15% if the service is pretty good, 20 if it's over the top. If it's the greatest service in the history, then 25% perhaps. Anyways, this might help with that a little bit because no longer will the server be standing there. This is called Blackbird Pay. It says diners can pay their bill at any point during the meal through a smartphone app with their usual cards. No printed check is required. So now think of the times you've been in a restaurant and you've had to wait for the server to bring you a check, you know, to come back and say, is everything fine? You're all done eating. Mm-hmm. Do you want dessert? Anything else I can get for you? No, I just like the check. Now the server goes away. The server's not just serving you, but a variety of other people. They might be back in 30 seconds with your check. They might be back in 4 or 5 minutes with your check. Then you've got to, unless you already have the card out and you're ready to go, now you've got to put the card in the thing and wait for the server to come back again. Repeat the same process. Your card's got to come back with a finalized bill. Not unusual, would you agree, for that process in a restaurant to take 5 to 10 minutes?
Right. And a lot of times you might have an appointment, another event that you're trying to go to after dinner, and so you're getting a little antsy. You want to move things along. Mm-hmm.
Guy sitting next to me in the restaurant yesterday, the waiter brought the server brought the menu. The guy said, could I please put in a pre-order for a cup of chowder? When she brought that, he told her what he wanted the rest for. When she brought that, he told her he wanted the check. So he very efficiently got in and out of the restaurant. This would really help somebody like that because when you're done eating and you don't need anything from the server besides the bill, now the bill is sitting already on the counter for you. So, and the server doesn't have to be there. You stick the card in, it flashes up the tip screen, you decide what's appropriate, you take the card out. I'm guessing that probably there's a way for it to send a receipt to your email, perhaps, which is the case with many systems. The thing that makes this one different is that it doesn't involve the server. It's a permanent part of the table decor, if you will. So, at any point in time, if you've decided that you're done, then you're done. If you still need something else from the server, then I'm not sure how that complicates things. But it seems to me this would be a huge time saver for restaurants and a huge time saver for the people who eat in them, who want to get on their way.
Yeah, now you're talking about, here again, a pay screen, a tablet that
yes.
would be permanently on your table, and we've talked a lot about those in the past, in that they would trick you into they'd have games or something, and mm-hmm. people would play them, and then you'd find out that they weren't free after your kids played them for 30
no,
minutes.
No, this is only about paying. It says you can also use Blackbird Pay to split the check with friends. So,
right.
I mean, imagine you go to a restaurant, you have lunch for two people, and it's $60, and you each want to pay the bill. Now the server's got to bring separate checks, and that's a little bit of a problem. But, I mean, it's time-consuming is what it is, and it slows down the service in the restaurant, even though I guess you can argue that that is a service-related thing. But in this case, this machine will allow you to split the bill, each put in your own credit card, pay your half, and the server doesn't have to be involved. The server can be involved with taking orders and bringing people their food more mm-hmm. promptly, which I think would make customers more happy. You're in a restaurant. I don't care if it's Denny's or Ruth Chris, and your food, well, this doesn't happen at Ruth Chris because they serve everything on a sizzling platter, but you're in Denny's or some other restaurant, and your food comes, and, you know, it's kind of lukewarm. It's been sitting in the window there at the kitchen for 5 minutes because the server was doing something else, or they were waiting for the French fries to get done, or whatever it was, and the server was busy. Perhaps they were busy with settling somebody's check. So now that is eliminated, it will be a money saver for restaurants because, hypothetically, they need fewer servers. It would be accurate because it's computer-driven, and it would take away that situation where the server's standing in front of you and you're deciding their gratuity while they're breathing down your neck. So it seems to me to be a pretty foolproof idea. It says here restaurants can also benefit from cheaper transactions. Blackbird takes a 2% cut, whereas credit card merchants' fees can run as high as 3.5%. I question that a little bit because if you're using the credit card, it seems like that fee would still be in there. So that's kind of hard. But anyway, Blackbird Pay, it's called, and hypothetically it'll be coming to a restaurant sometime soon. If you see it somewhere, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com and tell us how the experience went.
Great. Secret to getting hot French fries? Ask for them extra well done, crispy, because now they got to go cook them. By the way, happy birthday to my first board. That would be my daughter, Sarah. I say board because she was first born, but, you know, with me,
you're a radio guy, so
she was the first one that I board. So happy birthday, Sarah.
You've been boring children ever since.
You got that right.
Hey, listen, here is a little news thing that I missed. We used to take folks every year, take a busload of people down to the Gilroy Garlic Festival. And, you know, then they had a gunman who killed three people, wounded 17 at the Garlic Festival. And so that's been 5 years. And Gilroy is looking to try and bring it back. Now that lawsuits against the city have been dropped and insurance may again be attainable at a reasonable cost, they say it really was, the heart of the culture of the town. And everybody there, they all complained about the fact that people overran their town for a 3 or 4 day weekend every year, but they miss it. And so I get it. But anyway, the Gilroy Garlic Festival might be coming back. Listen, we have a bone to pick with the airlines, which is not the first time this has happened here on the Travel Guys, because we tend to be a little bit more on the side of the people who travel, since I own a tour company and I'm always traveling with people and I see the things that these guys do. A lot of times, it's not only not good for the passengers, it's not good for the frontline workers who have to make the system run every day. The airlines do send down rules and things that are just ridiculous. But getting them to conform to things, first of all, background. You need to know the airlines lobbying group is called Airlines for America, which is really a huge misnomer, because really what they are is airlines for airlines. They don't give a damn about anybody else except for the people who are paying to put forth the lobbying effort. So they should just be called Airlines for Airlines. Airlines, anytime you see or hear Airlines for America attached to something that has to do with air, as a consumer, you know that this is not good news. If these people are weighing in on something, they are very prejudiced to the airlines. They have nothing to do with, quote, America. They have only to do with the airlines. Important that you know that, so that the next time on KFBK you hear a news headline and it says Airlines for America did this, well, you'll know that it's BS, basically, start to finish. So the reason this came to the surface this week is because there were two instances where the airlines tried to do a little tap dancing. First of all, there's a refund obligations that was passed by Congress in May. And the airlines are saying, you know, we just can't. There's no way we can implement this quickly. And Pete Buttigieg has come back and said, well, there is, the law didn't provide for extensions or delays. Accordingly, we will be taking all appropriate steps to responsibly enforce these provisions using our investigative and enforcement powers. So it doesn't matter which political team you play for here. Hypothetically, the Department of Transportation is supposed to be there for all of us. So Pete is a little outspoken and a little more visible than most DOT officials have been over the years. But he's basically saying, look, don't give me a crock of baloney. Just do it. So he's saying and plus, this is before this Delta thing ever came up. So the Delta, this has nothing to do with the Delta meltdown. That's just something that occurred that Delta will now have to deal with in accordance with these new laws and provisions. So the airlines are dodging something that that Congress said in May. They required the airlines to take a number of immediate steps, including making credits good for 5 years. Five. Not 90 days or a year, but 5 years. Airlines, of course, are not in favor of that, because what that means is that somebody will look in a drawer after 2.5 years and say, oh, $250 airline credit. I forgot I had this. And then they'd look at it most times and say, oh, man, it expired a long time ago. But now it won't have expired, so it'll get used. So the percentage with the airlines knowing when they release these things that these vouchers, that about a third of them never come back, so they're really 65 cent dollars. So by doing making this good for 5 years, those dollars will become, there won't be as much breakage, and the airlines will have to pay off more of those. So obviously they are not in favor of that. Airlines for America said, quote, most airlines do not have the technological means to issue and support vouchers and flight credits with a minimum travel validity period of 5 years. And many airlines estimate that 12 months will be needed to achieve the required solution.
Oh, boy.
Well, 12 months if you don't put enough money and time and energy and people on it because you figure that you can drag your feet and get away with it, then yeah. But Buttigieg came back and said, any airline that has provided vouchers or credits with a shorter validity period must take immediate steps to remedy this noncompliance. So good. I guess all of these Delta people are going to get five-year vouchers. And perhaps if they don't, Delta may be in the reissuing voucher business. Wouldn't that be ironic and fun? No wonder it's costing them $500 million. They had their head up their rear end in the first place, and then they compounded it by saying, well, you can't book with another airline, or we're not going to pay your hotel charges. This was a computer's fault. And how did that work out for you, Delta? That's going to weigh on the profits for more than one quarter. Okay, so that's one issue, the refund issue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have another set of issues that have to do with DOT introducing rules that say effective July the 1st, you had to provide all of this information on the first screen. California had already passed the law to do that. So now the airlines are really, you know, up against the wall. So the airlines go to it. They handpick a Texas federal court, which is known to be friendly to the airlines. So they go and they get a ruling. And the court says that they're going to stay this rule for right now. So the government will have to come back and re-litigate. But basically, the court noted that Airlines for America, remember we talked at the beginning of the segment about what Airlines for America mean. It means airlines for airlines. Doesn't have anything to do with you. It's a lobbying group that protects the airlines. They don't protect the customers. They have nothing to do with the customers. The court noted that Airlines for America successfully argued that U.S.-based airlines would suffer irreparable harm due to this rule. Now, this is not the refund rule now. This is the tell you what you're getting rule up front. They would suffer irreparable harm, which included costs to re-engineer their websites. Do you see a theme here? Part of the other one, too. Concluding there was no way the association's members could recover their compliance costs. So they created a system that screws the customer. And now that the customers have figured it out and the government has gotten on our side and we've gone through all of this process to get it fixed, the airlines are saying, well, we can't do this because we'll never recover these costs for doing this. Well, of course you won't, because you never should have done it in the first place. We're making you fix something that wasn't right or honorable or anything, and now you're not happy with it. Opposing this view, the DOT stated that Airlines for America has not shown these, I put in quotes, harms were irreparable, but added that complying with a regulation almost always produces the irreparable harm of non-recoverable compliance costs. When at my company, when I decide to do something differently and I have to call in somebody to change it in our accounting system on our website, it means in some cases thousands of dollars. I'm sure for airlines it means millions of dollars. Guess what, guys? It's the price of doing business in a way that people can trust that the way you're doing business is honest and reputable. It just seems to me like one airline might step out and say, you know what, screw this. This is all what's fair and right. We're going to follow the rules, and if the rest of the guys don't want to, that's their business, and make a big deal out of it. And you know what would happen? The other people would fall in line behind them because they wouldn't want that marketing disadvantage. So I just, it's so frustrating. Every time it feels like consumers are taking a step forward, the airlines or somebody else, this is about to happen with hotels too, the airlines and their lobbying group, and they never reveal when they're talking and you hear these news reports and things like that, and in many cases the reporters don't know either that this is a lobbying group for the airlines, and they're just presenting themselves with this name that makes it appear as though perhaps they're Travelers United or
like they're on our side,
Chris Elliott consumer advocate or something like that. No, they're not. They're not on your side. They've never been on your side, and witness the fact that they're saying, you know, this would cause us irreparable harm. Yes, it's going to cost you some money to play right and do the right thing. So really sorry about that, folks. Congratulations on the this Transportation Secretary Buttigieg for holding their feet to the fire. I'm sure we will have updates on this going down the road. I know it's a little bit boring to talk about laws and Congress and, you know, everybody has political opinions. These are not partisan issues. Whether or not the airline sends you a refund they owe you, or whether or not they play by the rules, are not partisan issues. I mean, it doesn't matter who you vote for. You would, if your flight gets canceled, you'd like to have your money back. So that's what this is about. And it's finally, we're seeing some things where these people are being held accountable, and I will suggest you it's a good thing. It's a very slow process, but the consumers, I think, are kind of sort of winning. We'll keep you updated as we go down the road.
All right, good stuff. Airlines not for America.
Airlines not for America.
But for the airlines. Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. By the way, links to our special guests and so much more can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, tell us who we're going to spend some time with today on the program.
It has been a while since we have had a travel advisor here on the Travel Guys, a regular travel advisor. So we would like to introduce you today to our new travel gal, if you would. Travel girl, I guess. Sydney Skellinger, welcome to the program, Sydney.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. Tell our listeners, how long have you been in the travel industry? Is travel advisor your first travel industry job? Give us just a little bit of background.
Yes. Well, actually, super exciting. This month is my 5 years of being a travel agent, and I'm so excited about it. I started at a young age just traveling. My dad always used to do trips over presents, and it just kind of sparked that bug to just explore the world, and I haven't stopped since.
I love that. That's a great idea, and I think that's way more valuable than most of the presents and stuff that people come up with for their kids. Sydney, you have a very interesting name for your travel advisory company. The Poodle Booked It. Now, everybody's going to want to know where that came from and what it's about, so go ahead and share that with us.
Yes, The Poodle Booked It. I wanted to do something unique so people would remember it, and I'm pretty sure you won't forget it to this date. It's off of a couple reasons. I have a standard poodle who runs my life. His name is Winston, so he might as well have part of my travel agency. But also, you know, the characteristics of a standard poodle really just emulate my brand. They're intelligent, so I'm always working on, you know, learning new things and making sure that I can give the best, stuff for my clients. They're adventurous. I'm always trying new locations and brands to bring that knowledge. Sociable. You know, when you're on vacation, you're learning about new cultures, you're meeting new people, and fun. If you're not having fun on vacation, you know, you are not doing it right. And loyal. Like, I am just really loyal to my clients to make sure that they get the best vacation possible. So that's kind of how I came up with that name.
Sydney, everybody who gets into the travel business either already had a passion for a certain type of travel or a certain type of destination before they got in, or they develop one or two or seven after they get there. What would you say if someone asked you, Sydney, what are your travel specialties? Where have your experiences fallen? What do you know the most about at this point in your career?
Yeah, like I'm an overall generalist, as they say, but I do absolutely love river cruising and cruising. I think it's just an amazing way to travel. I'll be honest, I've probably done over 40 cruises, so that is where I have a lot of expertise, but I do also a lot of custom trips to Europe as well.
Wow, 40 river cruises already?
Well, of all cruises. But oh, okay. I have done about 3 river cruises in the last year.
Yeah, but still, that's an impressive number. I'm not much of an ocean going guy myself. So river cruises, yes, but for lots of reasons, some that we've discussed on the program. That's one of the reasons that you're here, is because we're hoping that you will bring to the program on a regular basis some ideas for people, some places to go. Maybe you will find a really, really special deal that is unusual and that people might want to jump on. I come from the land of group travel, and you come from the land of individual travel. So I'm hoping that between the two of us, we can offer people a broad range of ideas and things. And of course, on this program, we're constantly trying to give people information that will make them a little bit smarter traveler. So in the weeks to come, we will have Sydney back on, and she will share some of her expertise with us, which hopefully will make you smarter travelers. That sound like a plan?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. Sydney Skellinger from The Poodle Booked It is the name of her agency. Sydney, you have obviously a website, I'm guessing?
Yes, I do. It's thepoodlebookedit.com.
Okay, and we'll put a link at travelguysradio.com so that folks can find you also. And we will look forward to having you on in the next couple of weeks and get your first ideas or bargains or tips or whatever it is that The Poodle Booked It can bring to the travel guys.
Yes, I can't wait. I know I just did a trip to Albania, so I've got some fun tips about there and some private excursions you can do.
All right, Sydney, we anticipate that you're going to bring a slightly different look to some of the conversation here with the travel guys in regards to what younger people and what people that are traveling these days and how they view it and where they want to go. And I know you're going to share some great stuff with us here on The Travel Guys. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to be on again.
Sydney, she's so energetic. She's so perky. She's so excited about what she's doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it won't hurt the Travel Guys radio program at all to have a little bit of that going on.
If you're in, as I mentioned during the interview, if you're in the travel business, it's probably because you have a passion for travel, because God knows it's not the biggest moneymaker in the world. So you have to have a reason. You know, some people really like their job. The reason they like it is because they like what they do. I will suggest to you that many people in the travel industry, especially who are on the end that she's on and that I'm on, where we create things for people, that's part of the joy, is creating something for somebody. And in our company, Sports Leisure Vacations, we get to go out with people. But
yeah,
in her case...
You got double pleasure there. You make their dreams come true, and you get to go and watch them have those dreams.
You betcha.
Yeah,
sure. Couple of things here before we go. You might want to know what national days are next week, and also what ones you've missed already this week in August.
Okay.
I know you're married, so this is not an issue for you, but for some listeners it might be. Thursday, unfortunately, was National Girlfriend Day. Doesn't say whether you should find one, get another one, take care of the one you have, or whatever, but it was National Girlfriend Day. I don't see National Boyfriend Day on here, but perhaps it comes up at another time. And Friday, unfortunately, you've already missed it, was a doubleheader. International Beer Day and National Ice Cream Sandwich Day were both yesterday. Today, however, you can still salvage, is National Watermelon Day. This is, of course, the best time of the year to be eating watermelon. Tomorrow is National American Family Day. Monday is Blogger Day. Tuesday is National Root Beer Float Day. And Wednesday is National Lighthouse Day. So I'm sure information there that will probably change your life this week.
Absolutely. Yes, that is the The number one filler for broadcasters, disc jockeys, is to talk about the National Whatever Day.
Yeah,
do you have a national something day that you always celebrate?
No, I go with the flow here. I'm sad to see that I missed National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. I'll have to do a makeup on that one.
Right. Well, the root beer float day is a close second there.
Yeah, I noticed they didn't name that for like mid-January or something. They got it into the summer. Anyways, somebody's lobbying efforts somewhere. I want to talk for just a minute about Airbnb hosts. This is kind of an interesting thing. Airbnb travelers, you know, they look and they go through the ratings and stuff like that to try to pick out the right place to stay. But hosts, on the other hand, are trying to avoid the person who won't follow the rules, tear up the place, leave it in worse place than they found it. Interestingly enough, here's a lady who says, Airbnb superhost, who says she manages short-term rentals in Alabama. She learned her lesson after initially accepting bookings from guests with four and a half star reviews, only to find that they didn't adhere to checkout procedures, all kinds of different things. And she said, so if someone doesn't have a perfect five rating, she doesn't take them. Because she says that means at some point in time, some host had an issue with them, and she's not interested in people who have an issue. I mean, it's kind of cut and dried, might not necessarily be fair, but that's the way she does it.
What about somebody that doesn't have a rating? I mean, unless you booked in multiple Airbnbs and you follow the rules or didn't follow the rules and you got a number, what about people that are booking with her for the first time? What category did they fall into?
I don't have an answer to that. But that's an excellent question. It does say that here, though. Here's a little bit of a list of some of the things property managers deal with. 43% says they've dealt with noise complaints at their rentals. 25% have had police called because of noise. Here's an Airbnb superhost who says, look, you know, a kid tries to rent a place from me. Oh, this will address your question. Doesn't have any background. So I get enough information from him. I go on social media and I find that, the kid's planning a party. And the lady says the next day, so she turns it down. The next day she gets a request from an adult who happens to have a very similar address. Turns out to be it was the mother of a friend of the kid who tried to rent the day before, and the mother was trying to come in and say, well, you know, we need a place for a gathering and stuff like that. The lady went again through social media and said, you know, no, I don't think so. This is the party the kid was trying to book yesterday. So so know that if you are an Airbnb traveler and you're renting Airbnb for nefarious means, that smart hosts are out there looking for clues that will tell them that perhaps you're not a vacationer who's spending the night, or you've got relatives down the street or something like that. You're somebody who's up to no good. I thought this was a really fascinating article about how property managers vet guests, because we know that guests try to vet property managers, and the property managers say here that, you know, especially these folks who manage dozens of properties, say, you know, there's always a way to find out if somebody's going to be a good guest or not.
Yeah, and Antarctica and Spain next week.
Next week, yeah, we're going international on the Travel Guys. We're going to talk about skiing across the continent of Antarctica.